Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Michael Woods, and a bit better these days than the last episode, of course. Joined once again by the affable Aaron Dugan. Aaron, how are you getting on?
Thanks for jumping on, Mike, and happy New Year, mate.
Of course, it is a happy new year. Happy to you, so you listen. It's a new year, but is it going to be the same old can be there this 2024?
I don't think so, mate. I think I was when I was doing my research for this one, like it's promising. It's certainly I was listening to some came post-match comments from Callum Elliott, and he certainly says that the league table doesn't show you how much the kind of how well the team's been playing. I think that's the truth of it. That is that well, in the end, the league table doesn't lie, and we have drawn too many games. But I'd rather have a point kind of a game than losing kind of 3 points. So. That's a that but that's just way of it. It's just a came part of the learning curve right now.
No, absolutely. I think since the last episode, Cambridge's gone fair, to be fair to them. They've won three games on the spin since we last recorded the episode, or at least two anyway, against Albion Rovers and against East Stirlingshire. But I suppose to encapsulate the whole month, the 3-3 against Celtic B, the 2-1 against Hearts under 21s, 1-0 over Albion Rovers, and the 3-2 against East Stirlingshire. Good month leading into January, wasn't it, for Cambridge? Probably in the month that they need to kind of truly reflect, like you said, the league table doesn't lie, but a better reflection on what they are as a team and what they are could be going forward.
Well, it came out. You look at the games in December, and it was certainly a month that was dictated by the weather. I think there was only the one game that you could say wasn't affected by the weather, and that had been the game in Grangemouth against East Stirlingshire, where it was kind of like a proper winter's game with kind of that crisp coldness rather than the howling wind and rain. But no, it says that the team's come through a busy schedule. Obviously, we had a couple of games. Well, the game on the 30th was postponed because of the frost, and then also the game on Saturday against Linlithgow being postponed because of frost as well. But December's kind of notoriously hard time for any team that says at any level, just because of the amount of games that tend to be crammed into it kind of over a short space of time. And the team certainly come out the other end. With you'd have to see a kind of a positive looking point tally.
Yeah, I guess it's almost a shame in a sense that you've had back-to-back postponements, kind of halting your progress in the league, and obviously those games will have to be made up in the upcoming months. But I suppose we'll start with the Celtic B game, and we'll work our way through. Yeah, you had Mackenzie Kearse opening the scoring for Celtic B, Matthew McDonald replying shortly after, Rocco Vatter again taking the lead for Celtic B. I suppose it shows the fight intent of this Cambridge side now, that Kieran Chalmers scored a double late into the game, only to be pegged back by you conceding a penalty for a change there. And Mackenzie Kearse getting second of the game. In terms of the game as a whole, what did you make of the match?
I think it's becoming one of these fixtures that you just feel when are we going to get a win? Obviously, last season we couldn't lay a glove on them on Celtic B at all. A 3-1 defeat a 3-1 defeat at Adrianian Stadium. It's the first game of the season, and then obviously it was 3-0. I think at Central Park on the reverse
Yeah, I
in
believe
January
so.
last year. So. It's to then improve and probably should have come away with 6 points over the course of this season, then only having the two to show for it is disappointing. Again, it says the weather conditions kind of didn't make it an easy game. It's a bit of a back and forth. We had to weather a bit of a storm when we're 2-1 down. Craig Hepburn made some very good saves, and it was one that was actually wanting to kind of talk in a bit more detail. There's a shot comes from just at the edge of the box. He's pulled off a fantastic save, but it's actually the rebound, which I think is it shows you what kind of quality that we have in Craig Hepburn and goals. Where you'd think that most goalkeepers by habit and by instinct would want to try and go in with their hands on again. You can see that he wouldn't have got there if he had went into his hands. He's kind of went in with his legs, put in a kind of like a centre back's block to save the second shot. And I think that just shows the kind of intelligence of Craig Hepburn, kind of especially at a young time. I think a lot of the support, especially myself, were a bit disappointed in seeing Dan Farrell leave. I think we certainly said that for us having a kind of like a signed keeper and also Dan come on leaps and bounds last season was probably one of the bright spots of the whole of the last campaign. To see him can obviously leave the club as Craig Hepburn coming to be told that he was going to be the number one, and it was kind of Dan's prerogative to chase that. It was I think disappointing for most County fans to see Dan leave the door, but I think again, it just shows you that the management team are making difficult decisions in the transfer market, but are very rarely getting decisions wrong right now.
Yeah, I suppose the only hindrance to that is that obviously Hepburn's not quite your player. He's only on loan from St Johnstone, and I know Colin Nelson's talked highly of him. He could see him really making leaps and bounds in the years to come. I mean, like you said, he's only 18 years old, still very well young for any goalkeeper at any kind of level, to be honest. Unless you're an exceptional talent like that Kieran McKenna at Queen's Park, who was starting for them early doors at 16 and is perhaps making a move to Manchester United to hold the gloves as a teenager, especially when you've got to be barking and shouting orders to your kind of back line to get them in check. And sometimes these are guys that are potentially twice your age, especially if there's somebody like Dougie Hill, to still have that command of his area as well, and to do that at such a young age shows you that he's such a precocious talent, and he probably does have a potential to go far in the game. And I think it
I'd certainly say that. Obviously, he's going to make mistakes. He's 18 years old, as you say. Any keeper came from any age will make a mistake. He's going to learn from that. There's been times that I think he's been kind of caught in no man's land a couple of times, but we've got a strong back line that help him out. That certainly. Obviously, spending the earlier part of the campaign with Dougie Hill would have helped no end. Obviously, Robert McNabb's dropped back into the centre of defence right now with us having a bit of whilst we're looking to strengthen the defence. So I think he's got a kind of a solid defence there to help him out. But just I think we've found a good keeper for the season. Hopefully we can make. Get another deal for next gate campaign if St Johnstone are willing to bring him back to us. I hope that he's enjoying himself here. I think he's improved over his time with us, and that says so. I think that says I think he's been a very very good keeper. I think it just shows you, especially off of that save, the East Stirlingshire game as well, which we'll get on to later on. I think it shows real fortitude, real instincts as a goalkeeper, real intelligence as a goalkeeper as well, which will bring him forward in his career.
Well, 6 days later, you played Hearts under 21s, Hearts B side. Robbie McNabb opened the score early doors. Then Gregor Jordan made it 2-0 before Hearts pipped you back. Was it nice to see Liam Fox get his comeuppance at Central Park once again, Aaron?
I see, really, honestly, Liam coming at a difficult time for us was out his depth. It's just one of those things. It's sometimes it's just not the right time for a manager to come into a club. Also, it was the same for us, Dundee at the same time. But he's lauded as a youth coach. You can see that with how well Hearts B are doing this campaign. As in terms of the game, I think well, I don't know if anybody if you haven't seen it before, Norrie Works does vlogs from the lower reaches of Scottish football. He done one for the Hearts B game, so if you get the chance, if you haven't seen it, it's worth a watch to see possibly different angles from things. Also, the cameraman at County Beef is pretty shoddy at the best of times, so it's good to see Ken. probably things that get missed out on the well, I know that the third, we had a third goal which was disallowed, that wasn't allowed on the highlights because I had shouted, you can't disallow it because just because the keeper's made a cunt of it, referee, and they got pulled off by my boss. That says I couldn't swear on the camera. So no, I think it was a game that was 100% controlled by the weather, and that says it was blowing an absolute hoolie. The rain came in sheets, I think, half an hour into the game. I think that we managed them 10 times better than what Hearts did. Again, Craig Hepburn and goals. The Hearts goalkeeper certainly struggled in the wind. Was struggling to get his kicks out past halfway. You thought, well, hopefully we've learned from this from watching Hearts. Craig Hepburn straight came from the well straight from the off, tried to kick into the wind. You thought, oh, he's not learnt at all. And then about 5 minutes later, he's changed his kicking technique. He's kind of driving it into the, like, almost like he was shooting it into the wind, and it was fantastic to see that he's been able to do that. But Callum Elliott, after the game, came in his interview, had said that they had to go more direct to cause Hearts troubles. He's seen that from the goals that we can see, they're putting them kind of like fizzing corners right came towards the Hearts goalkeeper. Obviously, Robert McNabb's coming 3 minutes into the game. I think that corner would have went straight in anyway. That says from the way it was going. I don't think Hearts coped at all with us. Their goal was obviously caught by the wind as well from a goal kick. Kind of defence just went to sleep there, but that things like that will happen. Obviously, 2 minutes after half time, you don't now expect to concede straight from half time, but it's just one of those things you have to take on the chin. It's a defensive partnership that's kind of burgeoning. They've done very, very well together, Gregor Jordan and Robert McNabb. I said on Norrie's vlog that I thought it was a game of two halves. I don't actually think it was a game of two halves. I think that we handled both halves as you would expect it to have happened. We came under a little bit of pressure in the second half. I think we dealt with all the issues as we could have done. I think Hearts really didn't change their game plan to reflect the conditions. I think it just shows you the kind of knowledge base that the team has now with the management team, with the players there, that they can. That we have a plan B there, that we can identify that, well, this the weather's not going to allow Cowden Beef to play their game plan. We're going to have to change how we approach the match, how we manage the game. And I think that just shows you from top to bottom how well the teams come on leaps and bounds, and how well the management team know the game.
Yeah, and I suppose you've been Hearts' bogey team. They've only lost three games in the league, and two of them are to you. So it's also, are you a little surprised in the sense that how well Hearts are performing, and how poorly Celtic are performing in comparison to their respective league positions last season?
It's hard to judge with these teams because you don't know what's going on in the background with them. Obviously, Celtic's youth team's been playing in the Youth Champions League, Youth Europa League, or whatever. So there's been a lot of chopping and changing with their team. Hearts have had a lot more of a settled team. Obviously, there's been a bit of a change in management with Stephen Naismith going up to manage the full team now. So obviously, Liam Fox has come back for Dundee United. He's kind of dropped into a familiar role there. So I think it's possibly, it shows you the strength of what Hearts have built. Also bringing in people that can know the system, know how to bring the best out of players. But I think overall, both sides are strong sides. I'd say, but none of us want B sides in the league, that says, but I'd say that it was probably two of the kind of both teams come to Central Park to play football, play it in the right way, and I think we match both teams kind of, and should have come away with 6 points rather than four there. I just want to say, kind of going back to the Celtic B game as well, and I'm going to bring this up at the East Lancashire game as well. substitutions. Callum Elliott made well, four subs in the 65th minute, Ken, against Celtic. It was also not working for us. We were 2-1 down at the time. Celtic had a couple of chances to go 3-1 up. He's completely thrown the works at Ken on the pitch. Brought on Scott Walker, Adam McDonald, Kieran Chalmers, and Lucas Berry for Jack Tate, Aidan McLaughlin, Josh Jack, and Jamie Docherty. And I think it was about 5 minutes, 10 minutes after that that we've equalised, and then obviously Kieran Chalmers has put us ahead. That I think that just shows you that the strength that the team has, that though it's a small squad, there's quality throughout there. And I think that's there's not the we've not had this kind of quality for a long, long time, and that's going back way beyond our stay in League Two, I'd say.
Just a final thought on the Hearts game. Was there any reason it was played on a Friday night?
Anyway, David Allen had said also on the Norrie's vlog that Hearts B also play all their games on a Friday night, and it was just a bit of an experiment by the club to see if that would work. It was also it shown up good. There was a 303 people in attendance there, I'm sure, which kind of is a good crowd. Also, it helps for also Hearts supporters can go see the B side on the Friday night, and then go see the big side on the Saturday. I think there's we've probably got a few more neutrals through the door because they'd still have their Saturday there. I think it was good to try something different. I think the club needs to try and do this just to try and attract people through the door. I think you see that with the Celtic game. It was only 260 odd people there. I think maybe 250, 260 odd.
Yeah,
That
decent
so
club.
to see that kind of 40, kind of 50, 40 extra people there. It's I think it shows that it worked, and I think it was a good game to boot as well. So I think it attracted a couple more people, hopefully in the future.
Who brought the more away fans? Was it Hearts or Celtic?
I don't know. I'd probably say Hearts. No,
Yeah.
so it's just because of the I think the attendance figures don't lie, but I don't know if there's a kind of more of a sizable kind of neutral theme there. I know that Craig for the Terrace Trails can come across on the Friday night as well against Hearts because he was able to get in that game there, but I think Hearts probably did bring more. It's also a bit closer as well than Glasgow, and there's also a lot more kind of like because of the kind of like the new builds in Dunfermline and also Cowdenbeath and the Hillabeath now that there's a more kind of like Lothian based families than what there usually has been.
No, absolutely. So on to the podcast Derby there against Albion Rovers. You met up with David. You had a good time, and you've seen Albion Rovers get beat by Clifton Hill. How was the experience there?
You know, I said this to David at the time. I can't remember the last time I've actually seen a like a properly good game against the Albion Rovers. They're always quite turgid affairs, quite tight affairs. Again, it was a game that the weather played into came to kind of nullify football. We could have been out of sight by half time. I think Matty McDonald hit the bar. We had again three or four good chances to be up. Obviously, it was right after Sandy Clark had been given a contract extension at Albion Rovers, and from that showing, I don't think anybody could understand why he was given an extra kind of the new contract. But the team done very well, I think. Again, the second half we were a bit under the cosh with Albion Rovers kind of chasing the game and playing into the wind. I think we handled it very well. I wouldn't say that Albion Rovers really had many chances or really did threaten us too badly with the look at going equalising. And obviously it's been a season where we have obviously not been able to hold on to leads. So it was good to see that we managed to grind in a kind of good result against Albion Rovers.
Yeah, can just scrolling back here to try and see that was your that was actually your first clean sheet in the league since you beat since you drew at Albion Rovers, and the other time you kept a clean sheet this season, I'm
Three
sure.
nil.
Yeah, is that so? Like clean sheets are hard to come by, and the fact that you've got two against a team that's just come down from League Two in the SPFL, again, it's another feather in the cap, I believe, for Callum Elliott this season and the work that he's done and the work that's going in. That he is going to places like Clifton Hill. And like Albion Rovers are sat 15th in the table out of 18, but by the same token, they've got six games in hand on likes of Galloway, Caledonian Braves, and even the teams around them like East Stirlingshire and Gretna. Okay, there's a wide points disparity between the two. They've still got five games in hand on them, even like Berwick Rangers as well. So it seems to be unlike, unless they're going to lose all these games, but you'd probably consider the fact that their goal difference is still pretty handy. That they're better than a few teams around them, that their league position is a bit false. They should probably be matching kind of where you're in and about, perhaps. And we'll see where you kick on for your games hand as well. So I still think that's a good result, in spite of everything that you've just said there about how Albion Rovers weren't maybe up to it. Because there's been games this season where I've seen even just like the cup games in the telly where they look like an impressive force going forward. And they do have some great players in attack. Maybe just didn't click for them that day, but I do think that was a good win and probably one of the hallmark victories of Callum Elliott's young tenure as well.
Certainly, that's. I think at the time we were only 3 points ahead of them in the standings. It's been one of those seasons where, well, okay, we said at the start of the episode there that I don't think the table kind of reflects how much kind of we have improved this season. But obviously, Albion Rovers have had a couple of games in hand over us. You don't want to lose that, and then also be can know that you're level on points with them having the chance to then open up a gap on you if they take their games in hand today, and obviously they've still got three games in hand on us now. But I wouldn't I says I think with the 6 point gap now, the way that we're looking, the way that I'd say Albion Rovers are looking, also they had a very very good win against East Kilbride after that. But you can't say that's going to happen every week. I certainly say that from looking watching Albion Rovers that game. I wouldn't say that they were up to much. Another thing I'd like to point out that I hope that David's listening is they don't seem to put up highlights from their losses. I went to try and like refresh my memory of it because a couple of pints more than what I should have that day, but. I went to try and refresh my memory of it to try and see where the chances had been, and well, so there's no highlights, just post-match comments from Sandy Clark. So it obviously seems that they like to whitewash their history a bit, try and forget their bad points. But no, obviously I love going across the Colt Bridge. I think it's one of the best away days that you can have in the lower leagues. Certainly one of the games that was going to miss out when we got relegated. It was kind of bittersweet to see Albion Rovers be relegated in their place because you don't want to see kind of teams like ourselves going down. But it was one of those. I'm glad that there's a kind of, they're down here for that. It says I think it's a good day. I think Albion Rovers fans are quite. Are all right, and that's just I think that there's a bit of a good laugh, a bit of a banter between the two sets of support. I think the lower league's going to be stronger for having ourselves in the league with them. I think aye, it's just good to finally get that win against them because I can't remember the last time I've seen a win against the Albion Rovers.
I was there, because I've only seen Albion Rovers twice at Clifton Hill, and they've played East Fife, and they've played Kenilworth, and they lost both games. So I've not seen an Albion Rovers win at Clifton Hill, but I've seen Kenilworth win at Clifton Hill. I don't think I've seen Kenilworth win when I've been in your presence at Central Park, though. That's still to be I am ticked off the bucket list. But I suppose we go from good away days, which agree Croke Bridge is to. Sorry, maybe not as good away days. East Stirlingshire, Grangemouth, not a lot to do in the locale, but it's a good win for Kenilworth to win in the last minute.
Oh, she's also got the train across, mate Conor Ferguson. That was also the social media manager at County for a bit of last season. He went for a kind of there's was it the Old Mill, I think it's called, the pub. It's about a 10 minute walk away from the stadium. I had a pint in there, went up the game. I think it was probably one of the games that I was looking forward to in December. No, it's because I thought that the kind of pitch at Grange at the Grangemouth Stadium would says would suit Cowdenbeath. I thought it would have been a bit more convincing. It was a bit of a shock to the system actually. That says I would sorry, East Dunshire really should have probably been ahead going into half time again. Craig Hepburn played an absolute blinder in that first half, kept us in it. I think it shows you the strength and strength that we have in the kind of the team that Kieran Chalmers come away with another goal, making that three for the month. I think it was a smart goal as well. Also, Robert McNabb's kind of taking a pot shot for just outside the box. It's and then Kieran Chalmers has kind of just deflected it. It was almost like an ice hockey goal where he's redirected it into the net away from the the goalkeeper, and it just shows you the kind of the intelligence there to have that presence of mind that to know right, well, I'm not going to dive out the way of this ball because I think it's not going to go in. I'm going to just get my foot to it and just change the direction of it and so it's a kind of good goal. Callum Elliott kind of had said before that they had to show East Dunshire respect because again that the league table didn't show how good they were. I think that's true from seeing it. I think East Dunshire looked stronger than what the table would probably say to them. I think we showed them maybe a little bit too much respect, especially in the first half. Gave them a lot of time on the ball. Their number eight, Jack Hodge, I think his name was, kind of controlled the game. I was saying to Conor, I says I wouldn't mind seeing him in a Cowdenbeath shirt. And that says he really did control the game. They had probably the better chances of it in the first half. Again, Norrie Watts was there, Ken Dooney's vlog. So if you haven't had the chance, I'd get a little watch of that. Says just see the he's got a good angle on all the saves that Craig Hepburn pulled out. And that says we got into half time. You see that the kind of there's been tactical changes there, and that's has come out after half time. We've given them less time on the ball. You could say it was cagey still with it. We maybe had a bit kind of the better the chances, but we still weren't having that kind of clear breakthrough. And then Callum Elliott's has made three subs off the back of it on the 55th minute, bringing on Jamie Docherty, Aidan McLaughlin and Andy Rodden for Kieran Chalmers, Lucas Berry and Jack Tate. And that's completely changed the game. I gave Zach Butterworth a man of the match there. I think he's from the first half, he was the live wire for us. I think Aidan McLaughlin coming on gave him much help. I think Jamie Docherty played a good game as well. Maybe a little bit less decisive than what we're used to with Jamie Doherty, but certainly coming on, linking up well, giving Zach Butterworth just a little bit more freedom to cause trouble. Finally, came made the breakthrough on I think it was the 70th minute odd, and then straight away from kickoff, they bring on Callum Murray. And it was written in the stars that Colin Murray was going to score against us, especially after being told that he kind of wasn't probably good enough to get a start with, to get a game for Cowdenbeath to go down the other end and dance past the defence, much like his goal against Dalbeattie Star for us, and then brought it into an empty net where again Craig Hepburn kind of caught in a bit of no man's land, but you can forgive that, especially off with his first half display. Again, after that, I'd say that we peppered them without really having a clear break, and then bringing on the Mikey Cunningham, who you kind of feel sorry for because obviously he played a very, very good season for us last year. was very, very strong. Obviously, he's not really had much of a look in from coming back on loan for Fife this season. He comes on, he has a kind of a shot come cross, I'd say. I think he kind of dinks it over the keeper. It's not going to quite get there. And then Zach Butterworth just having that kind that last kind of burst of energy, especially after playing such a hard game, to come on in the 93rd minute to prod it home. It was a man marked by Jack Hodge, who I said that I'd wanted in a kind of V-shirt. It wasn't tracked at all, but I think it just shows you like the what we've got going for us again, to have that strength in the bench where we can make, well, four substitutions that directly impact the game and directly impact the game for the better. And then to have the management team that can see it's not working in the first half, make the changes, tell the players what they have to do for the second half, and then change the way that we approach the game. And we've been able to come ahead, really getting the faces of East Hampshire, stop them playing their game, and then come away with a hard fought three points. You'd have to feel that kind of after going 2-1 up, we probably shouldn't have conceded the way we did. But I think it shows you that the team wasn't at the races. No team at this level is going to be at the races 100% of the time. But I think it shows you that the mark a good team that they can keep on coming back after near miss after near miss after near miss after not having the best of the game in the first half to come back in the 93rd minute and prop up with an important goal. It was a great game, to watch. It felt like a proper rivalry match. There was a bit of a back and forth between the fans. They kind of a few niggly fouls. Gregor Frovenham absolutely halved Matty McDonald in the first half. I think it should have been a red after watching it on Norrie's vlog. I stand by that. It was reckless. It was a reckless challenge. I think he was lucky to get away with a yellow card, but I think that kind of set the tone for the match. They kind of got a bit heated at the end. I think East Anstruther's number nine, I can't remember what his name was, but he started to kind of lose the head a bit. It was a shame that the game got called off on the 30th, because that was also the return leg for East Anstruther. And I think after that kind of heated affair after the close win, they've really added to the match at Central Park. So a bit disappointed that the game was called off.
Was the old podcast favourite Jamie Piper playing for
I
East
say
Anstruther for his
Jamie Piper
contract
obviously
extension?
is playing very well for East Anstruther. Bit of a kind of a stalwart for them. Done very, very well over his time at Cowmeath. That's also a player that I liked. That's maybe not the greatest of centre backs, but kind of good servant. I think done well kind of over the course of the match. But was obviously it was substituted in the game, and was but and I think that kind of took away from East Anstruther's defence in the end. But I think that's no end to how we played. That we changed it up. We gave East Anstruther a lot less time on the ball. Gave their defence less time to settle, and really did have them on their heels the rest of the game.
And I suppose going to the what this month, you've got fixtures against sorry, let me get up again. It's Stirling University, no, sorry, Stirling University in the Cup, either side of hosting Bowness and going to Civil Service Stores. Those are tough league games to come up against the likes of teams that are milling around the top 6 and 7 spots in the division.
I think January was going to be a tough month for us. Obviously, we had Linlithgow called off. Linlithgow were in a similar run of form to us. I think they something crazy like they're unbeaten in the league since the 8th of November, I believe it is. And I think since then they've scored 12 goals and conceded once, which is crazy numbers when you think about it. So their last defeat was against Bowness, who we were playing on Saturday. It was a 5-1 defeat at home to Bowness in the East of Scotland Cup. And then from then on, they went a 2-0 win against the East Anstruther. And then 5-0 against Gretna, 6-1 against Galloway-Ferryden, and then 1-0 against Broomhill with a 0-0 against Bowness after that in the league. And then obviously the two games postponed after over a New Year against Bowness and then ourselves. Bowness again are they're in a similar run of form. I think well our last defeat was against Bowness as well. It was one of those ones that I think Colin had said that he didn't feel that the team really showed up showed themselves up very well. But you look at Bowness's run of form since it was, well, on the 9th of December they were defeated off of Tranent 2-0, but going on they beat Gretna 2-1, and then Berwick 5-1, and then a 0-0 draw with Linlithgow before beating East Dunshire 4-2 on Saturday. I think. It's going to be a tough fixture. That says also they've had the beating of us over the 2 seasons that we've had to face them now. I think it'll be a good marker to get a win against them and show you that we don't just do it against the teams that are in the lower end of the table, that we can do it the teams that are up there. Obviously, I think Bowness are sat fifth now in the league. Sorry, they're sat fourth in the league with 13 wins and 6 losses with 2 draws, which isn't dissimilar to us. It's just that we've drawn 8 times and lost 5 times. So I think if the team's starting to get over this kind of hump that we can't hold on to wins, I think that's going to show that we're able to now take on teams, take the lead, keep them, and take wins.
Okay, on to transfers, Aaron. I suppose before we talk about the players that are in and coming in recent weeks, what do you think this team needs? As you said, Robin McNabb's been playing centre half now for a while, and while he can play the position competently, he's perhaps more suited to being in the centre of the park. Is that an area of concern? And is there any others that you'd like to see more depth or more quality added to?
I'd like to see us bring in another central defender that can partner up Gregor Jordan. I think that Gregor Jordan and Robert McNabb have made a fantastic partnership. But I think, and it was something that I saw a lot in the East Dunshire game, that Robert McNabb was trying to take the sting out of the game. No, but we don't really have we don't really have the other other midfielders there. Obviously, Kieran Chalmers is a defensive minded midfielder. He was brought off against the East Dunshire at the time when we were chasing the game a bit. So Robert Nav's trying to kill the game from a defence, putting it back up in the midfield. But we've got attacking minded midfielders who don't who are trying to can kind of go hell for leather to score goals. So it felt like we were having a chance, and Robbie was having to kill it again and try and get it there. I think if we were to bring in a central defender and just have a bit more of a presence in a bit more of a presence in midfield than what we do, especially for the kind of like games like Bowness, Linlithgow, your Celtic Bees, your Hearts Bees, where they're your East Kilbrides, where they're going to be coming at us a lot more, where we can have that kind of just take the sting out the game, pass can get a pass to the centre or have a kind of a presence that's going to break up their attacks before it comes to the defence. I think that's where his strength is. I think he's very, very versatile. You've seen that over that he's kind of just dropped into seamlessly into the centre of defence. But I think if we can bring in a central defender and release him into the field, that'll really improve us.
And what about Zins? You've brought in Daryl Heery from Dundonald. What do you expect from him, 26-year-old centre forward?
Well, obviously he's played in the Lone League before. He scored 4 goals in 11 games for Tranent, which is a good return for a striker. Speaking to Conor Ferguson about it, who knows him from the past, he says that you might not get kind of as much kind of like running about from him as what you do like Ewan McPherson, but he knows when to put his foot through it, and I think that's what we've potentially missed this season. Obviously, Ewan McPherson's been a kind of great addition to the club, but he's not really hit the hit the same kind of heights of goal scoring as what he did for Clyde. I think maybe having a second striker there that we could partner up with Ewan at different times might just help him to score more goals there and to give us a different option as well, because at times I think that we have not had that kind of presence or that mindset to right, it's time to take the shot now, or right, I'm going to take this kind of pot shot.
I've just seen that Jack Ruddy signed for Deutsche Hamlet in the off season. Good for him. Good for him. Outgoings, Jack Duncan's gone on loan to Johnston Borough until the end of the season. What was the situation there, do you think?
Honestly, yeah, I think it was just the fact that he's maybe not he's been brought in. That we talk about it all the time, that when you're bringing in players, you're wanting them to when you're bringing in players, you're expecting maybe can two or three out of five to really hit the ground running straight away. I think, and we're trying to do that with a full team here. So you're going to have one or two that just aren't kind of clicking yet, and I think that's just the case with Jack Duncan. I think maybe it's just not his team really. It's not, we're not playing to his strengths, or he's just not fitting in properly. So maybe still young, and that's to pop him off alone. That says if it comes to the end of the season and we reckon that we can find a kind of better option, we can. It says, well, okay, thank you very much, Jack, you've for your time, but. She's a you're maybe not just suited to this way of playing, and then we can move on from there. But or he might go down to the Borough, and then can come on leaps and bounds and be able to come back in the summer and really fight for a place. It can be. I think it's just been one of those just one of those maybe a kind of step too far for a player. But I think the management team has to be applauded that says that they brought in all these players, that so many of them have hit the ground running, and to only have, say, Jack Duncan or a couple of others that maybe are kind of a little bit behind where we want them to be is to be applauded.
In terms of loans that you've got in, Mikey Cunningham, Don Duncan, Aaron McDonald, Craig Hepburn, and Robbie Garcia, do you expect them to go back to their clubs and perhaps maybe look in the loan market to bring in other players, or are you quite happy with the situation with the loan players that you've got in at the moment?
I think some of the loan players will go back. Obviously, we haven't really seen Robbie Garcia. Maybe says he's only 17-year-old. I think maybe he's just too young at the time. Maybe that was the idea of Motherwell, just to kind of dip his finger into, dip his toes into kind of men's football, just to show him where he needs to be. That says now he can go back to the Motherwell Academy with that kind of experience of knowing what he needs to do to kind of. To make it in men's football. I think the loan market's maybe been one place that we might not have done too well, especially seeing as loan players made such an important part of last season's squad. But I think it shows you that the loan market really hasn't impacted us as much as what it would have done last season. That it's actually been our players that have come in and done well. Also, McDonald's come in from on loan. He's doing brilliantly. Craig Hepburn as well has excelled, I'd say, kind of goals. I think kind of a couple of was it Dylan Duncan for Clyde? I think he'll probably head back to Clyde. I think if we can the ones that really haven't hit the ground running, if we can get. Release them back to their parent clubs, and maybe looking again at bringing in a couple of hours just to shore us up at places. I think that'd be wise.
Would you see any of your players moving down the divisions or moving on in terms of guys not getting minutes or that? Or do you think the squad's pretty settled in that kind of aspect?
I think the squad's pretty settled. I think we have a settled first 11, but. A settled 11 without the stubbornness to say, well, they're my settled 11. I'm not changing them now. And I think you've seen that with obviously Kiern Chalmers has had to come off the bench a couple of times. Lucas Perry as well has come off the bench a couple of times. Aidan McLaughlin, Jamie Doherty, who you might say came between him and kind of a few others would you'd say would have been the sign of the season has had to come off the bench a couple of times now. I think Callum's done very well at rotating players. Has done well at bringing players out that are out of form and then reintroducing them when they've been able to make impacts and then keeping that going. So I think the squad's small. The squad's definitely small, but it's there's quality throughout that squad. And I think if we can just getting a couple of players just to help us over the edge there a bit, says I think we'll be in a good state for next season.
I suppose it's not a transfer in a sense, but obviously Morris Ross has moved into Fleetwood Town to be the assistant to Charlie Adam. Supposed to be the crossover in the days at Rangers. Good move for Morris, getting back into the at least coaching aspect of the game.
I think so. That's his. Morris also knows his football. You can tell by the way he talks, but he does his interviews. He knows what he's up to. I don't think part-time football suits him and suits his way. Says so I think he needs 100% commitment from players, and you're only going to get that from full-time football. I think when you hear him speak about his time at Motherwell, he's talking also about Alan Campbell, which I mean, like I'd even say that Alan Campbell came in a professional environment, say came 1 in 100, where he said that he used his first signing bonus to kind of like kick out a gym in his in his gar his mum's garage. I think you'd be surprised if kind of like your can most professional players are doing that with their the first sign of cheque. They're also they kind of wanting to buy cars or wanting to can buy houses, go on holidays, that kind of idea. So I think to expect that from part-time footballers is going a bit too far. So I think Fleetwood Town's also a bit of a mess right now. The kind of odds on for going down to League Two this season. Surprised that Charlie Adam's probably been brought in. I don't think he's not really had that kind of experience. But Ken, good luck to him. I think Ken Beef's moved on. I think Morris Ross has moved on. I think it's probably not going to be looked back on fondly in a few years' time as spell as manager. But I think that Ken he did try to lay the groundwork there to make us a kind of stronger team, and I think that shows from the way the scouting's been working this season.
No, absolutely. We're transitioning to the Cairnbeath Independent Sports Society. A few club ambassadors been announced. Neil Irwin's been announced as the honorary president. But I suppose we'll go through these club ambassadors one by one and suppose get your kind of memories and feelings about them, kind of representing the club in this kind of way. Now, Craig Winter is the first one. What's your memories of Craig Winter, Aaron?
Kind of Craig Winter more so for his second spell. Obviously, kind of a bit young, it was a wee bit before my time. Kind of on the promotion side of 2000, 2001, but kind of also local guy, club captain, absolutely superb servant for the club. I think he's managing the Hearts of Beef right now, the junior team in Cowdenbeath. So it's obviously kind of still within the game. I think you can't exemplify. I said this exemplify what it means to wear a Cowdenbeath shirt more than what you could say Ken Toure Winter or Innes Ritchie, and that certainly led from the front. Obviously spoke a bit of time in Ross Cunningham's documentaries that are on YouTube about Cowdenbeath, talking about his goal for Brechin obviously meant a lot to him. The club means a lot to him. So I think it's good that we've managed to reach forward and get him involved with it. And that's his. I think the CISS is the perfect vessel for kind of remembering the good times, but also saying, well, if you want kind of more of this to happen, you need to put the to put money behind it, you need to sign on. And I think can get in a player like Craig Winter that can maybe sway a few heads. Also, there's a reunion day coming up in March against Berwick, so kind of quite a kind of rivaled game that as well. Hopefully get kind of a few can also hopefully get Toure there, Ken Neil Irvine, and his Richie there. Get them talking about their times and create that feeling. Can get the juices flowing again, as you'd say, and get people to back the CISS.
No, absolutely, because that reunion day, I suppose we should talk about it a wee bit more. This Saturday, the 16th of March, like you said, their plan is to try and pack out Central Park. Now, if they did it, it'd be an astonishing achievement, considering there's little to play for in the league at that point in time. But like you said, if there's like former players coming down, if there's old kind of legends towards the club, then you probably will get a few more through the door. And like you said, try to link the team to the community and the community to the team. I think it's important incentives like this, and while they're kind of token gestures in a sense, club ambassadors, that it does show a sense of professionalism in the way that the club is approaching things as well. So it has to be lauded and has to be commended as well. And that brings us on to the second player that's been brought in, Innes Ritchie. What do you remember about Innes?
Yes, well, obviously that season, that kind of captained us to the third division championship was kind of my first season, being taken to Cowdenbeath. I was like 9 year old, I think. And that's his. I just remember snippets, really, but honestly, I think that's his. Obviously, remember my first game, but remember the kind of title game. That's his waiting on that. Can also seen the photos of Mixon and Innes raising the trophy, and that I think that just shows you that Susie, that when you look at the boys that we brought in, I mean, like promotion winners, and it's maybe something that well, it's certainly dried up in the last kind of decade, the promotions and celebrations, but came through a lot of our kind of through a lot of our lifetimes. It's been a bit of a golden period. Can be obviously the story 91 season with Black Diamonds and Neil Irvine captain on that side to Ken Toure winning promotion in 2000 and 2001, and then obviously Innes Ritchie captain in the side came for to the first day. To the first trophy in a long time after that. So I think bringing in kind of like these stalwarts of the club that have brought success to the club's going to can pique interest again, hopefully, and be able to bring them in, like.
And the third one that's been announced at this moment in time is Graham Brown, striker of some repute as well. How do you remember Graham? Or was he a bit like, well, I know one of these boys, was he a bit too young for your time period to really have strong memories
He's
of Cowdenbeath kind of player of the year 2000s and
just a
2010s?
wee bit out of my time, Mike, and that says so I can also know of him and that. This is can good goal scoring record, especially for a team like us that can tends to find goal scoring can outwith the realms most of the time, like that says so. I think it's good to have a player that we can turn around and say, well, he was a stalwart, he was a kind of a talisman for Cowdenbeath, that hopefully that says that can entice people with can they put back can a bit of financial backing towards the club, and we can look to bring in a talisman again and really well, I think the whole point of CISS is to bring in the kind of next generation and to be able to can in 10, 20 years time when can like our kids and can, well, potentially their kids as well are bringing their bairns to the football is to say, well, kind of like we're having a good time, we're seeing helicopters again, we're seeing people can raise their fists, and it's not all just doom and gloom, it's all not all just fighting for survival all the time. And I think that's kind of the importance of bringing in these three players, well, four players, ex-players as ambassadors and honorary presidents, is to remind people that there is good times, but good times just don't happen. It's effort on the back of the club, it's effort on the back of the supporters, it's effort on the back of volunteers. So this club is a community club. It has to be supported by the community.
No, I think it's spot on. They're absolutely spot on. If you had to be one guy from the 2011-2012 season where you won the second division, and you can't have Joe Embu because I know that'd be your answer, who'd be your next ambassador for the club from that kind of time period?
So that's a good question. That says I always think, well, Kenny Abson's probably the says Kenny also local again. That was a great player for us, and that's his real no nonsense defender. I think if he was to come in, that'd be fantastic. I think if you're to go for somebody maybe a bit more high profile, and that's his Ken Greg Stewart's always done Ken good work for the club, but obviously donated his shirt a couple of years ago to be auctioned off. He's played in the charity game. That I'm sure that he'd like to. Kind of like would put his name to something, so that's came maybe something to dream of. Would to see Greg Shute back and involved in some way.
I mean, there's a few prominent names in that team. I mean, you had some people like John Armstrong, Gary Fisher earlier in his career there. Colin Cameron was obviously towards the end of the career, and he was manager at the time as well, was he not, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, I player manager at the time.
And
Obviously.
then
Done well for us, Colin. Say, or maybe not the right time for him and that, but kind of in the end, but certainly done the business for us at one point.
you've got John Robertson, who's still playing. I mean, that was in the infancy of his career. Lewis Colt, who's now, I believe he's a manager down the divisions with Pennycook now. He had some goal scoring record in that season when you went up. So, I mean, there's quite a few names you could potentially pick off. Like you said, Greg Stewart, Carl Naismith early in his career, and Derek Lyle when he was probably approaching his 30s at that point in time. But again, he still gave a shift for Cowan Beef that season as well. So there, I mean, there is plenty of names that you could choose, and of course, I know your answer would always be Joe Embu, no
That's a
matter
wee
what the
big
question
Joe, eh?
is.
That's just, but I think with Joe, obviously he's kind of he's doing his work with CSS right now, and I'll go call him Strollers because that would get a bit confusing, CSS and CISS, but obviously Ken very very good player for his time, and that's he's one of my favourites Ken growing up, and certainly still the man mountain.
No, absolutely. Is there any final thoughts as we kind of work our way towards the end of this podcast here?
I can think of mate, just obviously a tough game coming up on Saturday against Moness, and then obviously going into the Lone League Cup with Stirling Uni. That's so another tough one, and hopefully we can get a win against the Stirling Uni. I think it's our first meeting with them this season. I think both of them have been postponed since the start of the season, so Ken obviously be good to get a marker. I know it's kind of the cup, but you can like give them something to think about going into the league fixtures with them on the 7th of February. But if nobody's been able to watch them, I'd strongly suggest can watching Norrie's vlogs. Can he talks to gets he manages to get an interview with Callum, and both of them came both post-match and pre-match, so it's good to see kind of like what Callum's thoughts are going into a match, and then his thoughts coming out of it. You get to talk to he talks to the opposition managers, see what they're kind of thinking of us as well, and then also a wee bit of a talk with David Allen at the Hearts B game at home, and then kind of talking to the fans. I'm in them a couple of times. I didn't realise how shifty my eyes are when I talk, like, and that's just I look like I'm looking for the police, and that's just maybe I've got something on my mind, I don't know.
No, absolutely. They're a great watch. I watched the Stirlingshire one, especially, and the amount of effort, to be fair, that he puts into them, into the production of it as well. It's got to be lauded. So no, I thoroughly recommend that you do check him out if you do get the chance. But yeah, it's been a better episode, more cheerful episode this time around than the last one, of course, that we talked about. So if you made it all the way through to the end, thank you
But
for
just
listening.
before we finish, actually,
Go on.
there's something that I forgot to mention. That says it's probably our best run of form since. Where's my note? That's easy. Probably our best run of form since the 19th of March 2022, running through to the 23rd of March, 23rd of April 2022, when we had two wins and four draws just prior to us getting beat off Albion Rovers and then Bonnie Rigg Rose. But if you want to go back to a point that we've had more wins, you'd have to go all the way back to the 24th of August 2019 to the 19th of October 2019 when we had six wins on the trot.
Would that have been under
That was
Bowen?
under Gary Bowe, and that was the truncated season. That was a
Of course, of course.
when we were looking like a strong playoff side, and then obviously the world couldn't have that, so they released a virus that stopped the season.
No, of course. Right, well, thank you once again for listening. Thank you once again for joining me, Aaron. I'm sure we'll do this next month, and hopefully that run still continues so you can update your stat.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.